But it's kind of our part of our job just to just relax and just tell him, okay, don't worry, I'm on the wheel, and we're gonna get fine. So yeah. I normally is like, don't worry, just pedal, and I'll do the rest. So, yeah,
that's what happened. And we're cruising through the bike, and I think we went through a red light in Central Park, and the cops like pulled us over on the tandem bike.
I'm Trey.
I'm Quest.
And we're your hosts. Each week, we'll seek out and interview the heroes that live amongst us.
And each week, we'll ask them to tell us the story of an adventure that challenged them, stuck with them, and forced them to grow.
This is our truest adventure.
So I remember the first time that Anthony Satchel came with Achilles. He seems like a really nice guy, so I always try to become instantly friends of some of the athletes that I think I'm gonna have a connection. So I remember his first bike workout, the first times that he was running, always with an entourage of girls around him. And so, yeah, and then at the first party, we just start to drink together and we just become friends. Then everything was a downhill, and then he eventually asked me to guide him in a race, and I said, "Yeah, of course." Then,
and Anthony, when you first came to Achilles, was that the first space of time where you were getting back into doing anything athletic since you'd been shot and realized you'd lost your sight?
Yeah, well, I always tried to go to the gym. So I would ask my brother, one of my friends, yo, let's meet at the gym. Cause I didn't think they would let me in the gym by myself being blind. I'm still trying to navigate the whole blind experience. So, you know, they would flake and I couldn't go to the gym. So I had a home attendant coming to my house two or three times a week. So I would have them take me to the gym so I could just ride the bike. But I wanted to be outdoors. It was just I'm going to the gym, and I was just kind of sick of being indoors in general. I would just go to the gym for an hour or two, go back home. So I wanted to be more outdoors and meet more people because, you know, my friends would flake on me, and I needed a life of my own. I needed to gain my own friends, my own contacts, and, you know, start to have a life of my own. Yeah. So I showed up there one day, and it was just cool. Well, I mean, I met a woman named Mary who's actually going away today, her last day. But she ran me and a few other ladies, and it was cool. And I kept going and back.
So how long, what's that space of time? How long after you get the final formal diagnosis, you're not getting your sight back, is the space of time where you're getting back in the gym and really want to be outside?
I would say I started a while back. We started to go to the gym probably back in 2009. Maybe I got the diagnosis probably late 2008. But probably late 2008, yeah. So I started going to the gym early 2009, but we stopped. And then I tried it again by myself probably three years ago. Yeah. And that's when I really got it going.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, man.
It's all good.
I was going to ask, what is that gym-like experience when you go solo?
So when I was first going to the gym, I was up to the one in Washington Heights, and no, they were cool about it. They were just like, oh, yeah, it's cool. Blind dude working out, whatever. Help you out. They gave me a walkie-talkie in case I need to scream for help. So that was cool. But but there's a Planet Fitness down on 27th Street. And it's a few blocks from a place called Sellers Manor, which is a residence for people who are blind and their families. So my walking instructor was like, why don't you just go to this gym? They're used to dealing with people who are blind. And I'm like, oh, that's what's up. So when I started going down there, it was more welcome experience. They taught me how to use all the machines, and they put markers on certain buttons, on the treadmills and on the bikes, so we could know how to adjust the resistance ourselves without having to bother the staff too much. And then when I kept going down there, one of the staff members from there transferred to the one in Washington Heights. So she started seeing me, and she already knew the deal. So then my experience up there became much better.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So I guess my question
like thinking about you guys meeting, you're at this party. I know that when you met me, Anthony, you were like, oh, well, this dude's Trey, he's from New Orleans, he's probably black. And within 2 seconds of meeting me, you were like, this guy's white, super white.
Word.
So when you first
Chewy was white. Yeah.
Word. So when you first meet Nacho, what is that impression?
Man, when you first meet Nacho, you think he's like Zorro, like straight Antonio Banderas. Like the super romantic, romance passionate dude. Like you'll never meet a person more passionate than Nacho. Like I remember like the first time I went to the triathlon workouts. And we're on the bike, and this is like one of my first times on the bike. He's like, ah, come on, let's go. You're fine, you're fine. He just takes off. He's going. We're going. And it's so much fun.
Let me ask, like, because I immediately went to, you guys are on stationary bikes training.
Oh, no. Wait, so, so the triathlon team, we have tandem bikes. So they bring out the tandem bike. So he'll be in the front. I'll be on the back. And we both be pedaling, have our own handlebars. Yeah, so we're going.
So the thing is that for someone who never ride a tandem bike, it takes a little bit just to control the balance. Uh-huh. And it also, if you're visually impaired, you don't know what's going on. You've been without going on a bike for a while for obvious reasons. So you need to get used to the tandem. But it's kind of part of our job just to relax and just tell him, okay, don't worry, I'm on the wheel and we're gonna get fine. So I normally is like, don't worry. Just pedal, and I'll do the rest.
And that's what happened. And we're cruising through the bike, and I think we went through a red light in Central Park, and the cops like pulled us over on the tandem bike.
Yeah.
And Nacho was like, "Are you kidding me? I'm trying to give this guy a workout, man. He's blind. There's like so many people flying by. You gonna pull us over on the tandem?"
And I'm sure the cops were like, "You just ran this blind guy through a red light."
They were like, "Dude, come on. You don't want me to break. I've been in the workout. Just let it go." I don't know.
And I'm just
Spanish.
And I'm thinking like I'm black. I'm on the back of a bike. I can't even get a break. Like we're not even driving. Like we gotta be afraid of bike too. Like, what the hell's going on? Like,
yeah, no, that was a good one.
So how much was that ticket?
No. Yeah. We get away with murder that one.
A warning, a rare warning.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right, because you don't want to be the cop who has to go back and say you wrote a ticket for a blind guy and his training partner when you're training for a triathlon together. Yeah. Right? You're not a very good person if that's what you did with your day.
No, but inside the park, you know, you can sometimes go over the lights. I don't know. At least that's what
So then, Nacho, you first meet Anthony. What are your impressions?
Oh, my impression. I didn't know at the beginning how he lost his sight. But at the beginning, he was like a nice guy that I always try to get that disconnection with the athletes because we're going to share a lot together. And it's also a question of trust because he needs to trust you totally, especially with like Anthony. He's totally blind. There's some athletes that they can see a little bit. But there's a few of them that they are totally blind. So you need to imagine that, you know, like they don't see anything. So you are you cannot forget that in any moment because they can have an accident. So I try to always have a really close relationship with them. And the rest is just goes downhill, no? When you just connect with someone, you just become friends. That it's easy to collaborate and do things together. And every goal is, you know, is what you're looking for. So okay, so what are we gonna do next? Let's plan something. Where would you like to go? Or what kind of race would you like to do? And sometimes I'm trying to encourage him. Let's do a trial. And say I'm scared of swimming. Don't worry, brother. You're not gonna die. I'm not gonna be there.
It's fine. Just kick your legs. I'll do the rest.
I remember. We were, when was that, Anthony? When we went to City Island?
City Island last summer, probably like last summer. July,
we were,
August.
Because we are normally in the swimming pool that you is like 3 foot or 4 foot. So you can stand up and there's no risk. But in open water, it's just a different shit. So
we were
away, and sometimes they. It's funny because a lot of people have kind of panic attacks in the water. It's not. I mean, I don't know if panic is the word, but it's that happened a lot. So people just get very anxious in the water, especially.
There are people that are really good swimmers. And get in the ocean and freak out.
Yeah, totally. And especially if you are visually impaired, you don't have any connection with anything. You're floating.
Oh, my goodness.
So you don't know direction. You don't know. So I can totally get that. But at the same time, I know there's nothing going to happen. So it, like in every aspect of life, if you get nervous, it's going to be worse. It's like if you're doing paragliding or you're doing scuba diving or you're doing something like to have some risk. If you if you get a stress, you're going down, and probably you're gonna get down the guy beside you. So he just started. Okay, no, let's go back. Don't worry, you don't worry. It's the same. Have you seen Anthony? Anthony's a big guy, you know.
Yeah.
So he was taking me down. I was like, come on, dude, just relax. We're just gonna get to the same place. Okay, so nothing happened at the end, but that was kind of a moment. Yeah,
yeah, he was like, Anthony, relax, or you're going to kill both of us.
Yeah,
I was like,
dude, you're a big dude. Yeah, you're a big dude. You need to relax, or we're going to go down. So, really, I mean,
you're telling him this like while you guys are in the race, right? You're in the triathlon.
Nah, we were just. This was just like a training swim. Like,
that was an open water swim. Yeah.
Okay.
What's interesting though is from meeting both of you and spending a little bit of time with you is I have a hard time envisioning either one of you not just being cool, right? Like your description of Nacho Anthony is he's like Zorro, like super cool. And then when we had the last time you were on the podcast, Anthony, like you were talking about just like your natural athleticism. Then you talk about getting shot. Your friends are freaking out. And you're just like, yo, how bad is it? How bad is it? You're like standing there after you got shot. And I'm just like, it's a horrible story that you got shot, but that's like the coolest story that you're just like standing there like, yo, guys, stop. Calm down.
I need everybody to chill out real quick.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it's like Nacho said, but I also went to school for, like, medical assisting before, like, I lost my sight. So I knew, like, when you panic or when you freak out, if you know, just do things to just try to stop the bleeding as fast as possible. And if you do freak out, your heart's going to pump and you're going to lose more blood. You just got to stay calm. So.
Right.
You know,
go ahead.
No, Anthony is a very relaxed person, and he's really cool with everything that he does. I really like that about Anthony. But obviously, sometimes you need to get used to the water. That's the thing.
Yeah.
In that case. But beside that, Anthony's super cool with everything.
And Anthony, had you done much swimming before you lost your sight? Were you a swimmer?
No, not at all. I used to go to the pool every single day and didn't know how to swim, like, at all. Like, I never took the time to even learn. So, you know, they had a triathlon team at Achilles, and my boy Lamar, he's like, yo, why don't you just join? And I'm just like, man, I don't like the water. So one of my other guides, Kate, she was like, oh, I used to be a lifeguard. Like, I can help you swim. I'm going to teach you how to swim. I remember she took me to the pool for the first time, and I just swam like straight diagonally across the pool, got in everybody's way in the lap swim. She was like, I'm never taking you to the pool again in my life. But she
like
stuck
you
with
told
it.
Me to swim.
Yeah. But she taught me. A few other people contributed. Nacho, a whole bunch of people jumped in. And I just learned how to swim like really last year. I just learned how to swim, you know?
Wow.
I always had idea of what to do because I could see it. I knew the visual cues on how to swim. So that stuck with me. So it wasn't that difficult to teach me how to swim. But, you know. It's cool.
It's just another one of those instances where you're this super motivator. Cause you know, I want to do a triathlon sprint before the end of the year. And like the swimming is the stuff that just has me completely blowed right now.
Yeah.
I have a road bike.
It's a regular thing here. I don't know how it happened because in Spain, it being a warm country, we in the summer, we are in the water all the time. But yeah. Here I just get a lot of people. It's like, they're good bikers and good runners. It's like, you should do a triathlon. And they are like, yeah, but I'm scared of the swimming. Swimming is by far the most easy part. First of all, is the shortest. And second of all, is the first. So
you kind of get it out of the way.
It takes a long time. He's relaxed. Some of the, for instance, Lamar, which is a really good trailer that has done a lot of half Ironmans. I did a half Ironman. He's a terrible swimmer. Sorry, Lamar. But he just do it his pace and he just get it done. And then he's really fast in the bike. He can really, really fast in the bike. So you just need to relax and just do the water and just get out of the water and then just get into the bike. So
I love it. Like, Anthony, you and I are probably having the same reaction listening to Nacho say that.
Like, just relax, just get in the water. What the fuck is he talking about? He's like, just get out of the water. Like,
You just get in the water. You're with a wetsuit that it makes you float, and you just need to move your arms and then just get up with it. Just move your arms, dude. Oh, let's get out of the water.
No, you're absolutely right. In theory, you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. In theory, you're right. In my head, I'm still terrified.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
But I'm going to get there. I'm about to purchase.
I know you will. I know you will.
Next week. And Montauk, I'm going to do the sprint in Montauk, right? You know, the week after that Chicago marathon. So
next week, we got a triathlon clinic in New Jersey. So we get together all the team in Achilles. We are like 30 people. And we just get the whole weekend in a resort where we go to two really awesome coaches that train us. And they just give us tips. We plan the schedule of the year in terms of races. So this, we're going to do a sprint New Jersey, then we're going to do New York Triathlon, and then we're going to do Montauk, which is a sprint Olympic and half Ironman.
When is Montauk?
Montauk is the 2 of October, the week before Chicago Marathon.
Ooh.
Which Anthony and I are doing.
Yeah, we're both doing it.
So we got to do it, yeah. And a week after Berlin, which I'm also doing it. So let's see.
Yeah.
It's gonna be
awesome. Doing Chicago Marathon, Berlin, and
then Montauk. Yeah, it's gonna be three weekends back to back. It's gonna be good. Yeah, let's see.
And that's a lot of travel to do around like these extreme physical feats as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just in terms of, you see how, I mean, for instance, I'm gonna race Berlin, which is going to be the first one. And my training should take me through the other two. Let's see how I'm doing Chicago. But normally, when you do a triathlon guiding, you need to be like at least 50% more fit than the athlete because you're guiding. You cannot struggle when you're guiding.
Right.
So you always pair with someone is a little bit slower than you, which means that you still go through it without too much suffering.
Got it.
But sometimes it doesn't work that way. For instance, I did a half Ironman with Lamar last year, and we were destroyed because he's really fast in the bike. It depends. But I should be okay.
Are you going to Maui, Nacho? You're going to do Maui?
Yeah. So after Chicago, we are going to Hawaii to do a half marathon with the Achilles team. But that is just going to be like carries in the beach and then the race.
That's
like the easy breezy one, right?
Yeah. Half marathon. I mean, half marathon is a beautiful distance.
Yeah, I think so. After like two marathons and a triathlon, a half marathon would be cake.
Piece of cake. Yeah.
So then what you guys together paired as partners, what events have you guys done?
What?
Like what all events have you done? I know you did the rock and roll half down here, but what else have you guys done paired together?
We did the Atlantic City half, and we done a lot of training together. But normally, as I said before, Anthony's got an entourage of guide girls that they go all around with him. But really, it's like Secret Service. Have you seen the president running? So it's the same, but instead of bodyguards, it's this four awesome, girl, beautiful girls around Anthony. It's like
you know,
that.
You know, it's funny.
He goes Secret Service.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Since we did Anthony's interview, like, we're linked up on Facebook, and I, like, will see the pictures from when he goes to do his races. I had noticed that, but I was like, man, this has got to be the luckiest dude in the world, or he's just game like that. Every photo Anthony takes has some gorgeous athletic woman in it with him.
Yeah.
If not, like, two, three, or four of them.
Oh, yeah, no. Trust me, there's, like, always three or four. I'm the only guy there. About Anthony, I guess I'm lucky. But he normally,
all right, that's what I'm like.
He normally so makes all his trips, and he just ran Paris two weeks ago, Anthony.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and she was like two or three girls that went to him with him there, old Montreal. Yeah, dude, it's like it's good, like a jack, like. Yeah, it's so good. That's Anthony. I love that.
Anthony, are you claiming no comment right now? You're very quiet over there.
I'm just very fortunate to have people that would be. I'm very fortunate to have an abundance of people that are like willing to train with me and travel with me and just do whatever I want to do. And I'm just extremely grateful.
I love that. Talk about the president. That's the most diplomatic answer.
It's like Secret Service. But also, I mean, it's like when you're a nice guy and you are nice with people is nice with you. So I think it's a karma thing, no?
I'm going to start trying to be a nicer guy. I need that Anthony crew.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
What is your combined truest adventure?
Combined truest adventure? It would have to be New Orleans.
New Orleans, like, yeah.
That was the biggest race we've done together, and the furthest we've went. And I think
it was so much fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
All the weekend together, and yeah, I think that. Yeah, I would have said the same. I would say that New Orleans was the best moment that we had together. I think it was a really awesome weekend. Thanks for you guys. And we had a lot of fun. And yeah, it was kind of perfect.
I think on that trip, Nacho realized how easy it was to kind of like hang out. Because I feel like sometimes I feel a lot of athletes, when I say athletes, I refer to people with disabilities and the volunteers. Sometimes the volunteers feel like they have to put a lot of effort into it and so much service, like to make sure their guide is safe. Sure. And I realized there were a lot of points where I wasn't even with Nacho, and people would be like, "Oh, Nacho, like, where's Anthony?" He'd be like, "Oh, he's just around somewhere. He's fine. Like, whatever. Yeah. like, he'll be okay." You know what I mean? And I think it was easy for him, and he was able to like enjoy himself as well and feel like I was safe. Partly a great, like, to you guys. Yeah. You guys definitely held me down a lot. So it was cool. And the course was actually great, seeing you guys at mile 12. It was so much fun.
Yeah, because when you're surrounded by friends and 2,000 crawfish, what can go wrong?
I love that. And I know some part of, like, being down here had to be a truest adventure for Anthony, because you let Lindsay Dennis guide you for our 504th like crew run.
Oh man.
And it was like everybody was like
that was awesome. That was really awesome.
Well, everybody was like, has Lindsay done this before? No.
We went through Forward Street, which is probably top 10 of the most crowded streets in the world. And I was like, dude, they're managing, they're doing it. That's really
I mean, we first started, and it was my fault. I was kind of just going crazy, screaming, hands up, and I tripped. And I caught myself, though. I tripped, like, twice. And Lindsay's like, oh my God, I can't. She started freaking out. I think she literally started crying. And she was like, Nacho, here, take it. She was like, Nacho, here. Nacho's like, no, I'm not taking it. You're doing this. You're doing it. You're doing it. I'm not guiding him. You're guiding him. Let's go. Yeah. I'll run with you, but I'm not taking it. You're doing it. And he made Lindsay guide me.
I'm sure you guys were sober, so that probably helped make sure everything stayed calm, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because we just didn't do a beer tasting with 26 beers right before that.
And from the outside perspective, it was like, oh my God, has Lindsay done this? No. How's it going? Well, the guy tripped twice in the first 100 yards and was like, oh, man.
Yeah, but so Anthony is very cool with all that. There's some of the athletes that they get like, they don't like that because fell is part of everyone's. You know, I fell, you fell, everyone, every now and then. You go to the floor, it's no big deal. You just have to stand up and just keep running.
And yeah.
So he's really cool with that. He knows that that is a normal thing. And also that guiding is sometimes difficult and some things happen because people are just jumping in front of you and you cannot do anything, you know? So Anthony's very cool with that. So that gives the guide, in this case, Lindsay, like a lot of self-confidence to keep doing it.
Yeah, although people always make the focus on the athlete, like, oh, I have to trust them, but I have to make the volunteer trust me as well.
Yeah.
So the whole time we're running, I'm just talking to Lindsay, like, you know, just tugging me this way. If you need me to do this, tighten up on this. Like, let's just take it easy. Tell me when to step up. And after a while, we were just going and we were just fine. We're running down steps, running up steps, climbing things, as you guys know. So, I mean, I remember one time I was running with the athlete, with a volunteer, and she freaked out and just let go of the rope. And I flipped over a wall in Central Park. Literally flipped over a wall. So I pop back up as fast as I can, and I just sprinted to the rest of it. You know what I mean? And I'm bleeding. I'm like bleeding on my hand. I twist my ankle, and then after that, I just write her back. Like I just write her on Facebook, like, "Hey, so once you know I had a great run, please come back next week. It was awesome.
So much fun. Thank you. You're the best. Wow. See you next week, right?
XOXO, love Aunt Obama."
Nice.
So that's it. I think most of my guides appreciate that experience. I make them feel calm, and I also run at a pace that's very desirable. Like if I go to the workouts, I'm just going to run like a 10-minute mile, 10:30, just so we can talk and just catch up about our week, and you know, just have just real conversations and build that friendship. You know.
Yeah,
that's great, man.
Agree.
Well, I got to ask you guys one last huge favor, please.
Okay, go.
Will you come back to New Orleans next year and let's do it again?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. No, no worries. Excellent. No worries for that.
Excellent. Well, you guys, thank you very much. I'm Trey.
I'm Quest. And thank you for listening to The Truest Adventure.